The DVD's out again, so many know that kind of towards the end of last year we had our DVD project going. We're taking DVDs to as many people as possible in the community around. Really good feedback from that. So I'm going to be kind of taking that on, which is why it's not on this coming week because I'm going to be in Spain. But we're actually going to kind of put a bit more into it so that when you arrive, it's going to be 10 o'clock on Thursday mornings. It's not just like we spend 2 minutes praying and out the door. We're going to have time to pray. We're going to have a little bit of time in the Word. We're going to have time where you can pick up a few tips and hints and things that will help you. So that if you want to come and be part of that, you don't need to worry if you don't have a clue what to say and you've never done it before and all those things, because there'll be the opportunity for you just to learn. Again, you won't get stuck knocking on somebody's door all by yourself. You know, you can just come along and take it step by step. God will help. So we're going to have a good time with that. So that's going to be on not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. And this week there is our leaders meeting, so for the leaders of the church, 8 p.m. at Mike and Esther's. This morning, we're starting a series. This is with a preaching on God's vision for the church. These are going to be recorded, so if you know you're going to be away sometime, make sure you ask for that when you come back. It should be available. And there's a little thank you message on here just saying thank you for all who worked so well to make the family service so good and so well run. And the next family service is the 11th of March. And that's it for notices. How many can remember them all? Only joking, but just ask around and church texts come out. If you don't get church texts letting you know what's on when, it's an excellent reminder. Make sure you give your mobile number to Keith and he can include you in that, and then you won't kind of miss out on anything. All right, great. I have no idea. Is it Pastor John coming up next? Okay.
Good morning. It's so good to be back home. I had a very good time while in America. Let me just use this opportunity to thank everyone who contributed towards the journey. I think God used it to break certain things in my life. I remember when I told Keith that I'll be traveling, and he said that the church will be contributing, and I really found it very difficult to agree with him. And I said, "Oh, no, it's not necessary." And he said, "You don't want it?" So I said, "Why not?" And to even take it further, then he came to the church and said that if anyone wants to give towards it, it's like, "Oh, no." I called him and said, "No, don't even do that." He said, "Why?" I said, "I'm not begging anyone to say." "No, you're not begging. He said, "Don't stop anybody from receiving the blessing." I said, "Okay." So I just said, "Thank you for your contribution. It's so good." I believe it's God ordained. And God did certain things in my life. Before I started service, the preaching, let me just say this. When we got there, me and Evan, we the one representing Reading. And it was awesome. People all over the world, they're representing, I mean, from the five continents. And it's so great. I remember between 3 a.m. and 5, I normally just go to the altar to pray. Just there, that means it's just going to be only me. So that give me the time, because there's no point for you traveling all the way from this place to America, 13 hours, and just going there. I don't want to listen to people. I really want to hear from God, and I want to see a shift happening in my life. And the very moment I got there, I was just doing that. And I said, "Lord, you've got to just speak." And amazingly, Vernon had been trying as much as possible to get me introduced to Ex Sivoso. And then on Friday, he suddenly said, "Oh, this is John. I've been trying to get to the. It's not been around." And as the man saw me, and I just said, "You're the man." And the next thing I just said, he put his hand on my head and I said, "You are Daniel."
You are Daniel to United Kingdom, and this is what God wants to do. And he began to minister, and then he said, I break that spirit of that you trying to pull back, that you know it's in you, but you are trying to pull back. And I said, okay, Lord. It's so amazing. And Ken Gotts was not there, and he was in a place praying, and on Saturday we were just there, and I said, Son, he came to me, and then he said, that thing that has been in you, I call it out, and said, now, with that apostolic anointing, and I said, okay, I understand now. So it was so powerful. And I said, Lord, I thank you. You know, there are sometimes that you get to a place, you know that this is not just a meeting. This is a shift happening. And I know as a church, we've been praying that we are no more just like doing business as before, that we're moving into an apostolic movement that is completely different. And as God was just saying that, and with what I've been discussing, Keith and I have been discussing for some time, I say, God, really thank you. And I want us to just embrace that. I know it's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be business as usual, but I want you to really be ready for what God wants to do. Because whenever God wants to take you higher in his plan and agenda for your life, this is one thing I will guarantee you. It will take you out of your comfort zone and just place you in a place that maybe you've been fighting lower demon before. It take you to a place where your demon will be higher. But he didn't just throw you there so that he can devour you. He has already given you everything that will be needed for you to defeat that enemy and move higher again. So I believe that as a church, we have what it takes to take the whole town. We have what it takes to take the whole nation. But it's not going to be just ourselves, but it's like there are some churches that God, I believe, is speaking to in this town. That is really saying that, no, there has to be something more than what we're getting right now. I believe that God is saying to churches that now that it's time for us to move in the new anointing that God is releasing for the end time church. So I want all of us to really embrace it and get along with what God is doing. This is the challenge of the move of God. God moves. Please understand this. Principle is vital for anyone that moves with God. There is time and there is season in the things of God. God moves in a cycle. When your season comes, everything around you, you become uncomfortable. Something inside of you will be erupting and be telling you that I cannot just stay as I am. And then it's an evidence that God wants to move into another season. If you can align with the will and the plans of God for that moment, you shift. Even forces that have been against you before, you have power to overcome it, and then you move higher in the spirit realm. And I believe that God wants to shift every one of us. If you are part of the family, you will experience the power of God. Amen? So, with that in mind, I want us to, I'm going to involve every one of us today. If you don't mind, please, just go along with me. Do you mind if we all stand up again? We want to do something, and that is what we've started declaring as a church, because what you say is what you get. As you reinforce it within you, you just see that thing start happening. You begin to say, yeah, that's who I am. And we want to declare once again the apostolic declaration of who we are as a church. Who are we as a church? Now, let's say it together. One, two, three. We declare that the world is destined to be an apostolic worship center that will have an influence in Reading, the United Kingdom, and the nations of the world. We declare that the Lord will release finance, people, and all resources that are needed to create a hot house atmosphere of the kingdom culture where individuals are encouraged to grow be nurtured and flourish quickly to fulfill their callings and destinies in the Lord. We declare that the Lord has called the world to extend the boundary of its influence, and we call into existence a building suitable to fulfill all that the Lord has promised this church. We declare that the world church will always keep seeking the Lord first, and this ministry will not be derailed. We declare that all God's promises are yes and amen, and no longer will we say time passes and promises come to nothing. The time has come for every promise to be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. That's who we are. If you don't mind, just sit down. That's who we are as a church. That we are called to be an apostolic center. And if that been the case, you know, it's like, yes, that's who we are called to be. Does it mean that we're talking about these four walls? No. We're talking about you. We're talking about men. We're talking about God shifting us and you becoming the light. You becoming the sent on. When we say apostolic, what do we mean? It means those who are sent by God. You are sent by God to this generation to make an effect. So we want to now go into this teaching together. Understanding an apostolic vision and structure. We want to understand what does it mean? Because it's like, are we not serving God before? Aren't we a church? Why are we bringing this word apostolic? But if you look very carefully, the reason why the book with the first church or the early church, there is only one church. The reason why the early church was effective was because they are not just the structure and everything we see right now is as a result of many years and traditions that we put into the church that are actually in a way in that the move of God as it ought to. And if we are going to be what God called us to be, then we need to go back to the book of Acts and see how they did it and why it worked. I think we need to ask ourselves that when the church started, there hasn't any building, no structure. The government of the day were not actually happy with them. They were throwing them to jails. They, out of persecution, out of everything, they were able to reach the world, their world that time, within 50 years. The entire world were soaked with the presence of God. How did they do it? It's because they embraced the apostolic calling of God for their love, their lives. In other words, they are called out wherever they found themselves. That's where church is. And they began to move and spread. And it moved from just addition to multiplication. My prayer is that by the close of this year, we will look back. Your house will have been transformed. Your life, your church, I mean your neighborhood, everywhere you find yourself, the glory of God will manifest. Amen. Now, please. Okay. How do we find this? Number one, before you're going to know what God has called us to be an apostolic, the first thing that we need to understand and to know is our identity as a church. Because your calling comes out of who you are. That's first of all, we need to understand who are we as a church. And that is, when you look, the first assignment or the first vision that God gave to this church came out of John chapter 4. And that is when Jesus met that woman by the well. You will see the significance of the well, the significance of the meeting, and what actually happened, or the impartation that happened to that woman that transformed her life, which I believe is the same thing that God just wants us to do. Because the Bible says that the scripture were written not just for them, but for us. What is there, by the time we start scratching the scripture and start seeing what God says there, we will find ourselves. because Jesus had to locate himself in the Bible before he was able to function well. Until you locate yourself and find who you are in the Word of God, you will not be able to be effective. It's amazing to know that we as the Church of Jesus Christ or as children of God, most of the time because we don't know our identity, we allow nothing, or I can just say literally nothing, to affect us, and we just start falling whenever we find a simple challenge. But the moment you know your identity in God, everything changes. The first thing that you can find in that portion of the world church is that this church is a welcome church. That's the first thing that we put there. If you look at the core value of the church, it says that the church, I'm just taking it from the website. Our values are drawn from John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 42. When Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman, the first one is welcome. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciple has gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." What does it have to do with us as a church? When the Bible says that this church is a welcome church, you can see the analogy, because the Samaritan woman and Jesus Christ, they came from the same root. They are both the seed of Abraham. In other words, what the Bible is telling us as a welcome church is that this is a family. Amen? The first thing for any apostolic is that you understand that you are my brother. We are of the same family. Never mind if my accent is different from yours. Never mind if my color is different from yours. But the truth of the matter is that because the two of us came from the seed of Abraham, then we are family. I want you to look to the next person by your side and say, "You are my family." I understand that you're not saying it very well. Now let's interact together. Look to the next person by your right and say that, "You are my family. You are a member of my family." Now turn to the one on your left and say that, "You are a member of my family." Amen. Now when we say that we are family, it means that we have the right to everything that belongs to God. Amen. And we have to hold our hands together. If we are going to be true apostolic, then it means that your success is my success. Not just only that, your pain is also my pain. I'm blessed with, Liz and I, we are blessed with 4 kids. I remember a few months again, one of the youngest of our kids lives in Aberdeen, and he wasn't really well and was not feeling when I saw he called and said, "I'm just tired." You know, any of you that knows about social work, being a social worker, it can really be painful. So he really got down, and I think maybe the pressure of the work and war he's been experiencing, this thing you can easily internalize it. So it was so difficult for him. And he said, "I don't know." The next thing that Liz got time off from work, I said, "I'm going to see you tomorrow." Now I was just saying that, "I pray for you, son. Don't worry, everything will be okay." Now, that very day, without even me knowing, my son, the first one, John, called and said that, "I'm on my way to Heathrow Airport. Where are you going?" I'm saying, "I'm going to Aberdeen to see because of the situation of Lawrence." Without telling, being the firstborn, understanding what families just took off there. By the time they got there in the evening, the 3 of them were there already. They were now, so it was like the pressure went off, joy came, because it's a family, we are family. They shared the whole thing together, and the whole thing just left, the pressure left him like that. That's what family is all about. If, when you are, when you become a family in the church, you don't just say, oh, look at that one. He hasn't even got his life together. Look, I have. Please understand that it's by the grace of God.
Yes.
Wherever you find yourself today is the grace of God. And when you know that you are a member of the same family, when one is going through pain, at least feel the pain. You might not be able to give financially, but I tell you that you can give through prayer. You can give through just saying, I love you, brother, because you are a member of the same family. Understanding that, that's the foundation that you know that you are not suffering alone. I'm not suffering alone. Or I'm not, when the joy and the testimony comes, and I say that, why is it that it's only him that get the testimony? Because out of my testimony, we come also your testimony. Because God will use my testimony as a lift in you that will make you to be challenged and say that if God can do it for that person, he can do it also in my life. We are not at the same level. There are some that have been able to receive that faith and they are applying the faith. But there are some that are still crawling. There are still some people that are babies in the Lord. Hold the hand of that person so that the person can also rise up and be wherever they can be. And whatever God has given you, share it. One of the most powerful portions of the Bible is in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the people there and they received, the Bible says 3,000 people were saved. And the next verse we hear is from verse 42. The Bible says that, and they all came together and sharing together and none of them lack. In other words, that because they know that, oh, you haven't got any food. Okay, I can share my mind with you. Oh, you haven't got enough? Let me share with you. And also as they were sharing, the Bible says that because of that, people began to see what was happening. Because people will notice if we are one. John chapter 17, Jesus was praying. He said, there is only one way that people will know that you are from me, when you are together. So when we say that this church is a welcome church, what is literally saying that it's a family church. It's a church that is knitted together as a family. That's the first foundation. That's the identity of any apostolic movement. Understanding that I'm standing by you. So when, let me use this example. When Jenny decided to go to Spain, she's not just in Spain by herself. I'm also in Spain. Because I'm praying, my spirit is already praying here. And there is something that goes with apostolic anointing that when you go not on your own, but you go with apostolic anointing, miracles happen more. Things happen when people move together as one. So we know that understanding that we change or shift the atmosphere of this church. Understanding that we are family. Number two that we can see there is we also declare that this church also recognizes water. What does that mean? And that is seen from verse 10. It says that Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he will have given you living water. What is Jesus saying there? He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. No apostolic power or no apostolic movement or the church actually can ever be effective without the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that works in and through us to change and to transform us. So, what do we do as a church? We need to be praying for more baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love to say that the anointing of yesterday is not enough for today. Because the demon you faced and you defeated yesterday, a bigger demon is coming today. And please permit me, when I keep on talking about demon, there are some of you that have said, this demon, what do you mean? Now, remember Jesus said that when you cast out a demon in a person's life, The Bible says that that demon will go out, and if he come back and they say that the place is empty, what will the demon do? He will go out and look for more deadly demons to occupy that person. And it says that the latter years will be worse than the former year. Why? Because when that person was delivered, he refused to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be asking God every day, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen? This is not just only about you just looking at, oh, this person is so anointed. Let me say this thing to you. There is an erroneous, a kind of wrong teaching that have gone in the church for ages that is totally false and not true. And that is, there are certain people that are anointed to do some things that others cannot do. There are some people that have been anointed to heal and to perform miracles that others couldn't do that. No, God is no respecter of anyone. If you can faith it, you can get it. If you can believe God for it, you can get it. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. So when the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, he will use everything. And let me also say this thing. Whatsoever you've gone through in life, either bad or good, they are raw materials for God to take you to the next level that he planned for your life. There is nothing waste in God. There is nothing. When the enemy is throwing his armors against you, is actually helping you to take you to another level. Because when your miracle happens, people will come and see what the Lord has done. The greater your breakthrough, the better people will see the manifestation of the power of God. How do you know that, John? Look at John chapter 12, or from chapter 11, and then chapter 12. The Bible says, chapter 11, Lazarus was sick. And Jesus said that, it's for the glory of God. I've got many things to do. And the person said that, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Jesus, look at, this man is dying. Yeah, I still got some things to do. The first day, the second day, the man died. And the Bible made us to know that it was the third day that said, now let's go there and just do something. And the disciples said that, okay, we just go and sympathize with Mary and Martha. And they got to the house. Mary ran and said that, oh, what has happened? He said, oh, he has done. Mary said, if you had been around, my brother wouldn't have died. But she said that if you believe that the glory of God will manifest, say, yeah, I believe in the day of resurrection. He will. But Jesus got there, he cried and said that, why couldn't they believe? And he got there and said, Lazarus, come out. The dead man, the Bible says that the one that was stinking came out alive. And John chapter 12 now recorded it that while Jesus was in Bethany, everyone came to see not Jesus, if you look at it very carefully, the Bible says not to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. In other words, the miracle that happened drew more people to the Lord Jesus Christ than even the preaching of Jesus Christ. There are some things that will happen in your life, whatever you are going through. Let me say this thing. Don't give up. The God you are serving is a God of miracle. Don't give up. Don't say that, just like what we in our declaration, don't say the promises of God is past. If he said it, if he has said it to you, every promise, if you receive it from the Lord, hold on to it. They are your weapon of warfare that you will rise up and say, Lord, at the middle of the night, say it. When you are walking, say it. Wherever you find yourself, keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. One day, what you'll be saying will come to pass. So this Holy Spirit energizes us. So if we are going to be true apostolic, especially not just only taking this, the number we have right now, if we believe that we have been called to pastor or to disciple this city, then we need the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God has not called us just to be, the purpose of coming to Sunday is not really the church? Do you know that that's not actually the church? Do you know that the church, the true church starts on Monday? Do you know the true church start where you're walking? The true church start with your neighbor. The true church start with your friends that you meet. that you talk to, because we are two or three are gathered, there you are. Then what's the necessity of Sunday? We gather together on Sunday, number one, to share testimony, to give glory to God for what he has done Monday to Saturday, and also to be empowered again to go out and manifest God's glory. Amen. That's the purpose. So that when you go now, you've been filled, you are energized, you are ready to go out again and do express for God. That's the purpose of the meeting on Sunday. So this is not the end. It's actually the beginning of the journey. It's to take you to somewhere. It's to take you to where you've never gone to before and make God to manifest in your life. Number three, I will put these two together, which is the world and worship. When you look at it, you say that this church is also one of the core values, or the core values of this church is world and worship. This is the engine room of anyone that actually grows in God. The word of God, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh. The more you study God's word, the more you understand God's word, the more you embrace God's word, the more you practice and act on God's word, the more you see your faith increasing. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to see the miraculous in our lives. You know, one of the major things that the enemy have used to deceive us, if anybody says that God can perform miracle, I believe there is no one in this house that will doubt that God can perform miracle. But when it comes to that place that we start saying that God can use you to do the unusual, you begin to say, me? How can he do that? Oh, I'm not just this. But the moment you come into understanding of who you are in God, who you are in God, and you find it in the word of God, who you are. It's so amazing to me when sometimes ago I was reading and God illuminates my heart about Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 11, about the people of that world that they began to build the world, the Babel Tower. And God gave one powerful testimony and said that, look at those guys, that whatsoever they have determined to do, no one can stop them. Even without the agreement of God with what they are doing, with just their own agreement, they were able to do it. The question would then be, is it the devil that is empowering them? No. Because when God created you, I want to say this thing, please listen to me very carefully. When God created you and me through Adam, there is the DNA of God that he put in man. And he says, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. So even unregenerated soul that hasn't got God in him has the DNA of God in his or her life to make something happen. That's why you keep asking, how did Google, all these people that don't even, they are not Christians, how are they doing things like that? It's because there is an element or there is little of God in them, even though they don't align with the God of their creation, but they still have God of creation in them. So when you understand that, what will happen when you give your life to Christ and the wisdom of God now resides in you, the mind of God is your mind, and you have who you are in God, nothing can be impossible. So you need to try and elevate, let me use the word try, elevate and change your mindset about who you are. Change your mindset. Begin to see that wherever you find yourself, things must change. Why? Because you are the light of the world. You are salt to the world. There is nowhere you step into. It doesn't matter how powerful the devil may be operating there, because there is no power of darkness that can ever or ever overcome light. When you step into any place, light must come out of that place. Unless you don't know you are the light. Because how does the enemy able to defeat Adam? Just simple. He know that he cannot get to Adam and fight Adam face to face because there is God in Adam. And he know that very well. How was he able to do it? In a subtle way and deceive him. It's always deception. Do you think that the reason why this thing is happening, do you think you can even get this one? Do you think it's possible to make an effect? Do you think he will keep on suggesting the negative things into your life to the extent that you start believing it? And whatsoever you believe manifests. You are the total manifestation of what you believe. Because your belief system walk out of you. That's what Jesus said, that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. What if I believe that, I want to say, this is really a challenge, I know, especially my wife and someone in this house. What if I believe that when that your place of work, you have the master key to change the place? What if we believe that place of work, you are the change agent? It doesn't matter. You might be the lowest of the lowest there, but because you are there, you have what it takes to change the atmosphere. Actually, you determine whatever will happen in that place. I've decided to be doing something right now. You know, when God revealed this into me, anytime I'm going out in the morning, I keep on just, I will say, Lord, I thank you. Wherever I step into today, if there is darkness, let there be light. If there is trouble, let there be peace. I speak peace. I speak blessing. I release blessing into this place. Now, if the enemy wants to counter that, it's not me, it's God that has sent me. So begin to operate in the knowledge of who you are as a child of God. The word and worship. The disciples said, the first apostles, when there were troubles here and there in Acts chapter 6, they said that we cannot leave word and prayer. But let's just, so that we can be serving food, let's concentrate on word and worship. Doesn't mean that they don't care for people. They do. But they understand where the source of their power is. When you understand that the source of apostolic movement comes in prayer, in worship, and in word, then I will suggest to you that what we've been doing before as a church. Thank God for Tuesday prayer meeting. Thank God for Halley's Sunday prayer meeting. But that will not be enough for us to disciple the whole town. We need to double up. Amen? We need to double up. We need to start praying. And it might not be us gathering together. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. Because your victory is vital to this new move of God. If God is going to really do something, what will really happen when you develop a lifestyle of prayer and that thing that has been tormenting you for a long time just evaporate or go, or God heal you, God set you free, or God empower you? And you come to church on Sunday and there are some people that have been struggling and you say that this is what the Lord has done. How did they do it? As I was praying, I received this word from the Lord and I believe it and this is what happened. Do you know that it will challenge me? And I will love to go back to prayer like that. There is a man who is going to be with the Lord right now. Kenneth E. Higgins. He was dying of tuberculosis in those days. And he was really sick. And somebody gave him the Bible. And he was reading Mark 10. Where it was written that by faith. That you can say to this mountain that God, that the mountain will be removed. And they said that, and they said that it's going to, actually they said that the sickness is terminal. He wrote that book. It's all over in those days that if you got saved from 80s and core 70s, there's no way that you will not read the book of Kenneth E. Higgins. You know, so all little orators that say, if you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into this, it shall happen. And he said that this mountain of sickness and tuberculosis, and he got out of his bed, he said, as thin as this, and said, I'm healed. If God says I'm healed, I'd rather believe God's word than not to believe. and he believed God's word. You know what? The man lived up to about 90 years or so. I can't remember the number of years. He never fell sick one day. How did he get it? Through the word. Every day he injects himself with God's word. I'm healed. He confesses the word of God. Every day confessing God's word. I'm healed. Lord, I thank you. I'm strong in you. I'm blessed. And as you say it, whether you are going through trouble financially, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Confess it to yourself that, Lord, I thank you. I'm rich in you. Thank you that through your, the Bible says that you took my sickness and my infirmity, and by your stripes I'm healed. Get every Bible verses in the Bible, every Bible verse in the Bible, begin to read it to yourself every day. Confess it, read it. One day you will see miracle. Get the word in yourself. Inject yourself every area with the word of God. Now, after that, we have witness. This is actually, when we talk about, I believe that as a church, we thank God for, I have to be very careful now what I want to say, because we have an evangelist in the room. Now, about evangelizing. Now, how do we do it? Or we go to the street, and we mustn't stop that. That's powerful. But do you know that evangelism goes beyond that? Evangelism, it's my life. People should be able to read God in me. If you are in a place of work or in your neighborhood that everybody or no one can see Jesus in you, you are not a witness. It's quite easy for us to just take the mechanical. It's quite easy for anyone to just take the tracks. I really thank God for what Jenny is doing. Jenny is a woman of God that I respect and I love. And every other person in this house that have been doing that work effectively. But it's quite easy for me to follow Jenny to the street and start distributing tracts. And the point is that somebody might be going and say, oh, so that, is he a Christian? Believe me, there have been, I remember in London, somebody was talking about a member of our church that if that person is a Christian, then devil can be a Christian. Because his life has nothing to reveal about Christ. So you are a living witness of who Christ is. 1 John chapter 1 says that things that we've seen, the thing that we've heard, and the things we have experienced, that we are sharing with you. So when your life becomes a testimony, you are a witness of the goodness of God. You are a witness of the transformation that can happen in someone's life. People will see it and say that, I want to serve that God you are serving. How come we are going through the same thing and there is this serenity, there is this peace inside of you that you just feel as if nothing is happening? Not because you are evasive of the problem, but there is something in you deep in the core of your being that says that God is alive. You actually praying for someone that's supposed to be praying for you because you have Christ in you. And you are a living witness. So as a church for the apostolic movement, this is what they saw in the first church, in the early church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that when they see the apostles, that they knew that they've been with Christ. Something in them showed that these people, they are true witnesses. So let your life witness about God. Let everything, let where you're walking, begin to show that there is the goodness of God here. And there is nothing, or there is no place of work. I have to be careful to say this thing again, that there is no pressure. If you don't have work, there is pressure. If you have, there is pressure. If you have little, there is pressure, because the pressure is that, Lord, I just wish I have this one. And if you have big one, I know what it means. So wherever wherever you find yourself, there will be pressure. But it's, the real thing is that be a living witness that God can take care of your pressure. The Bible says, come unto me, all of you that are of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Just let there be exchange. I don't know whoever I'm preaching to today. Probably you are going through some trauma. You are going through some challenges. And it looks like I don't even know what to do about this situation. Hand it over to God. There is one that opened the gates. The Bible says that the keys of hell and Hades is in his hand. His name is Jesus. And every door he opens, no one can close it. And every door he closes, no one can open it. He has the key. He has the master key. But learn how to hand it over to him. Let's begin to live the same life he lived while on earth. He's not afraid to share and say that if you have seen me, you have seen God. That's why they were ready to kill him. That how dare him saying that if you have seen me, you have seen God. Because he's not afraid to live the life that he is. Don't be afraid to tell anybody. If you have seen me, you have seen Christ. How many people can say that? That I am the living witness that Jesus is alive. Let's begin to live that life. That everybody will know that if I step into any place, they are seeing Jesus Christ. There is something in you. It's not about I get there and I say, oh, shaka-ra-ba-ba-ba. No, that just keep that for some time. Just walk in without even saying a word because of the presence of God that you carry. Do you know that you are a carrier of God's presence? Amen? You are a carrier of God's presence. Wherever you are, God is there. There are innumerable angels that are at your beacon to talk to you and to minister through you to other people. So you are the carrier of Christ. And then next, the last one is your walk. And I think I've talked a little bit about that. It's just telling you that where you're walking is your church. Amen? Wherever you are walking right now, that's your church. Make sure that you hold that. You have somebody said, I haven't got a ministry. I don't even know what to do because on Sunday they don't do anything. No! Get the power, go there on Monday and be it from your church among your neighbors. Listen to me very carefully. God said, it's going to sound weird to some of us. I shared it with Keith. About a few months ago, God gave me this idea. And I was just praying. I love to do prayer work. And I also learned a little bit about my wife at the middle of the night, just praying. And God just gave me this idea. And I said, what will happen if every street, every house and every person in this town is covered with prayer? Every business. What will happen? What will happen that there is no street left untouched with prayer? What will happen if there is no street left untouched with prayer? What will happen if every person, because there is this power that God has given to, I don't know whether you use it or not, that there is power that God has given to you, even while in your house that you are praying, you have the ability to go into your spirit being and enter into every home. You see it in your imagination and you enter into that house and you begin to bless that house because you know that this is street number one. And you enter into that house because you have seen the house in the during the day and you can enter into the house and then you begin to pray. You begin to pray, bless every home, bless every home. You go to the house number two, begin to pray for every house, every person living in that. You might not know the name, but you are seeing it in your spirit and you begin to pray for every person in your street. You can do it. Because you have the Spirit of God that can take you to anywhere you want to be. It doesn't mean it's not an abstract travel. Is the Holy Ghost travel. It's something that takes you from where you are. Right now, if I tell you that, go to the just where you are walking, instantly you can see yourself there. Instantly you can see where you are sitting. You can see some of the friends that you normally do there. Imagine that as you enter into that, in your mindset, in your mind, in your imagination, and you begin to bless everyone in that place. That's the power of imagination. And you, as you are praying over that person's life, you are praying over that family, you are praying over that, imagine there is no home left untouched. I believe there will be a revival in the land. I believe there will be, everybody will be touched with the power of God. But the truth is that that's what apostolic movement is all about. That's the only reason why they were able to cover every town, every city in their time, the time of the apostles, because they were committed to God and to live the life that is worthy of God. As we begin this journey, my prayer is that none of us will be left behind. And I want you to embrace it. You are fearfully and wonderfully created by God. You are the exact replica or the exact image of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because the Bible says it has been made for you the wisdom of God. The Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that he has adopted you to be a son of God. So he has made you to be everything that you can be. You're not going to be more than what he has made you to be, because all that is in Christ is in you. Everything that is in Christ. There's a powerful message, there's a powerful passage of the Bible that says that, it says, Paul declares, Christ, he said, I am in Christ and Christ is in God. In other words, that you are in God right now. If nothing can defeat God, nothing can defeat you if you believe. If you believe, please understand that word, if you believe. Jesus conquered the devil because he believed his father. Everything that the father said to him. This is my beloved son. He didn't say out of religion, say, no, I'm not a son of God, you know, because the rabbi will be angry. No. He says that I am the son of God. If you have seen the father, you have seen me. Shall we all just stand up? I know there are so many powerful, what you've just heard today is just a taste of what you'll be hearing concerning this envisioning of who we are as an apostolic movement. Those who are coming, you know, I'm just John the Baptist. People that are heavier, on whose shoes I cannot untie. They are coming to preach and to teach us of what it means to be apostolic movement. And I want each and every one of us to embrace it. Number one, please hold someone's hand as a family. Don't be afraid to hold that person's hand. Don't be afraid, because it's a member of your family. She's a member of your family. If you don't know before, say, I want you to tell the next person on your right and say, thank God I have you as a member of my family. Now pray for that person right now. Just begin to pray for the person. Release everything that is in you into that person's life. The Bible says no one was sick, no one was feeble among them. That's the presence of God. It says when he released them, it says in Psalm 114, when the sons of Abraham came out of Egypt, nobody was feeble. Why? Because they move out as a family. We are starting the journey as a family of God. All that is in God will manifest in you. Whatever pain you are going through, God is taking it out and God is replacing it. There is a divine exchange happening in the realm of the spirit. I want you to call the destiny of the person that you are holding out right now. Call that destiny out. Tell that person that you will fulfill your destiny. Tell that person that you will fulfill your destiny. That you will fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill your destiny. That whatsoever that is impeding your progress today, because I agree with you, I come into agreement with you, that impediment is taken out of the way. It's taken out of the way. every challenge you are facing, every trouble you are facing, the Lord is removing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a member of my family. Heavenly Father, Lord, as you are taking us in this journey, O God, it's beginning with us. We manifest in our community, in our places of work. We manifest, O God, in this town that, Lord, we pray, O God, we join our hands together, not just as a lone ranger, but as a family. Lord, we pray, O God, that every gift that you put in the heart of everyone in this house, O God, that have been lying fallow before, we call it out from today to be used for the glory of God. I pray in the name of Jesus, O God, people that have been, that the enemy has put a kind of putting a kind of mask for him to be seen himself or herself below the standard of God. Father, I remove that right now. And I declare that every covering cast, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, every covering cast of the enemy in the faces of people is removed from today. And I declare that you are who you are in God, the Son of the Most High God. Every power, every anointing, every grace that God has given this house, that God has given Jesus Christ, will start manifesting in your life, in your family, in your place of work, in the name of Jesus. What you have not been able to do before, Father, I speak into your life and I declare that from today, from the apostolic point of view, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I declare that to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. 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 Just tell that person that you are my family. You are a member of my family.